I'm just going to leave you hanging forever, man.
Welcome back.
It's me, William the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yeah, I hope all those new listeners didn't get scared away by me during that three-episode stretch where it was just me in the closet hanging out.
I'm just imagining a dad trying very hard. There's a meal. It's really assorted goods. There's some fried lunch meats in there, of course, some oatmeal.
The kid's hair is on fire.
But you know what? It comes from a place of love.
Yeah, I did my best.
Anyways, we're back, and we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with a little preview of the possibly, probably scheduled loss against the Bucks.
Before 5:03 p.m. on Tuesday night when Kawhi was ruled out, I was feeling pretty excited, but now it's going to be tough.
Anyways, you're still going to bring the positivity.
Oh, always do.
I have no doubt in my mind. So we're going to get into some key matchups with that, and then we have another brilliant What You Say Wednesday.
Yeah, thanks to everyone for voting in the Clipper Nation.
I really appreciate it. So we're going to be breaking down a little poll that you could have voted on.
Oh, yeah.
If you didn't, make sure to always follow us at Locked On Clips, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike.
Yeah, we're there.
And then we'll be wrapping things up with our daily segment, Shavings.
What's rattling around in there? Want to give a shout out real quick to my homie Pat, who's hanging out with us on the recording tonight, rocking his Ty Dolla Sign hat. Always good to see. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me, guys.
He's probably going to chime in here and then. Let's get into this Bucks-Clippers preview. As we mentioned, Kawhi was ruled out for this game at 5:03 p.m. on Tuesday night. The Clippers made sure to reach out to the league to make sure it was okay, which is still a very weird thing that I think teams have to do. Just let us sit our guys if we want. I don't care if it's a primetime game.
He's got a sore knee. It's all-encompassing, baby.
Got a sore knee. So, we're not going to talk about how we feel about Kawhi sitting for this game. It does bum me out because I wanted to see Giannis versus Kawhi.
I think just of the two games on the back-to-back, we're kind of in agreement that I think that this would have been the one we would have liked to see him play.
Yes and no, because...
Why no?
I want to make sure we get the dub over the Blazers, which is a possible... They are playing poorly right now. A possible tiebreaker thing, it was seeding, and it might feel like a weird trap game. You know? I don't know. I'm torn.
Oh, man, I disagree.
So the lineup situation is interesting. So the last lineup without Kawhi, we ran Bev, Lou, Sham, Swaggy PP, a.k.a. Patrick Patterson, for those new to this podcast.
Love.
And Ivica Zubac. There is no way that we run out the same starting lineup, right? This lineup gets destroyed by the Bucks, I think.
I think it'll be this lineup. Well,
you don't think Mo's going to swap out for Patterson or something?
No, Patterson stays in the starting lineup.
Damn. Lou has to play maybe 30 minutes in this game.
Maybe you toss Mo in, though. Maybe you toss Mo in at the three, and you have Beverly Shamet, Mo, Patterson, Zoo. I like that lineup.
But who creates shots on the starting lineup?
Sham.
I don't. Pat enjoys that one, and I do as well.
He's going. he's going point Sham.
See, this is so Lou. He didn't practice today. Neither did Bev. We're recording this on Tuesday night. They didn't practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Lou's in for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If it's close and we're not waving the white flag at some point.
My thing is if you can be less of a sieve defensively than in some iterations the starting lineup has been.
For sure.
I think that that second unit is enough offensively to keep you going.
I hope so. Sham's going to have to play a ton, I think, too, if things are falling.
If shots are going down.
Let's look at the Bucks overall stats picture. It is
pretty good.
It's not bad. They are number one in defensive and total rebounds.
Yep.
Number one in two-point percentage. Number one in three-point field goals made per game and effective field goal percentage.
And just overall points.
And just overall points. They are top five in offensive rating, three-point attempts, blocks, assists, two-point field goals made per game, defensive rebounding percentage, and that's about it. They're playing pretty good.
Yeah, not mad at that.
What do we need to do well in this game?
I think it's because, is it Budenholzer rocking a beard now?
I don't know. He always looks like he just got like, he always looks like a time traveler who just appeared in an NBA arena. Who's like, whoa, where am I? He has no idea what's going on. What do we got to do well in this game? Other than everything.
Other than everything. We got to find a way to kind of mitigate that size. And that's going to be both,
yeah,
you know, like both on the glass as well as just offensively find a way to be able to get the ball.
Huge.
Be able to get the ball moving and hopefully not have a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, this, I mean,
because this is a team that will punish you for turnovers.
They're giant. To go to your size issue, they're not, like we said, they're number one in total rebounding at 51 a game. We're 10th at just a hair under 44.
I like those odds.
I mean, we did it well against the Jazz.
Yeah.
We out-rebounded the Jazz.
Oh, yeah. You think we could see another huge Zoo game in this one?
I think Kawhi needs to be out there for that to happen. You know? Giannis grabs 14 boards a game for the Bucks.
Yeah.
So if we can...
That's nearly as many as Patrick Beverly, right?
Yeah, just a hair over. If we can... And the next highest is Middleton with 5.5. So I...
Oh, Pat's... Well, Pat's crushing that.
So I guess we have to kind of swarm Giannis on the boards. Because Kawhi is out of the lineup, and he grabs 7 boards. Zoo, Pat, and Trez are all at 6
mm-hmm.
a game, and Jermichael's at 5, Patterson's at 4. Mm-hmm. So Beverly's going to need to be at like 8+, and Zoo and Trez might both have to have double-doubles.
It's going to be a hard game.
It's going to be tough. We're also going to have to hope it goes in from 3.
Yes. Yeah, the percentage has not been great.
The last 3 games, we are the worst 3-point shooting team in the league.
Overall, though, we're shooting 34%, which is... just a hair under the Bucks, like on the season so far, they're only at like 35.
Yeah, the Bucks are allowing opponents to take 41 threes, which is kind of confusing.
And that's pretty... Oh, no. That's... I mean, we'd have to be shooting more than our regular clip.
But that's what I think we're going to do. We mentioned maybe point Shamit at the break or at the hop. I think Shamit is going to... I think this is a great game for him to break out of a slump. And if he gets like 9 attempts.
Would you call it a slump?
100%.
He's had some great games.
He's shooting like 30% on 7 attempts a game, maybe even lower.
Yeah.
He's not shooting well. He's had one
game. I don't know if I'd say a slump. It's a bump.
What
maybe.
Pat, real quick, what is an extended period where something maybe isn't going well for you that it usually is?
I wouldn't say it's not extended.
I'd say he's off to a rocky start here in the sophomore year.
Bit of a sophomore...
Pothole, maybe.
Okay, let's get into what could go wrong. I had this jotted down before 5:03 p.m. Kawhi doesn't play, and this becomes a bit of a quote-unquote scheduled loss. That
you also wrote in the notes, which is more on tune with, which is more on brand for you. We can absolutely beat the Bucks without Kawhi, but it would be a tall order.
It will be. Giannis is averaging a very chill 27-14-7 stat line right now, which could pose a bit of an issue. No, this is hard. I'm not sure how you can game plan for a team like the Bucks without Kawhi.
Yeah.
When
absolutely.
He's such a big part of the team.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a nice test. I think it's a nice test to kind of have the second unit guys playing when there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
I think it's, if nothing else, a good exercise for like...
I actually want to give a shout out to David Sluck.
Okay.
At Lucky Sluck on Twitter. He was the only person to tweet a positive thing. He goes, Kawhi rest games are great for some of the role guys to get their game going. Excited to see if we can get a win. Shout out David Sluck.
Absolutely.
Like, I hope it goes well. The man cave residents are really hoping that we see some Terrence Mann minutes. I don't know if that happens, if it's close. But I'm excited to see what Mo can do really in this situation.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
hopefully starting.
I think Jermichael will have another great game.
I think one of the things that could go wrong is we get out-volumed from 3. They shoot 44 threes a game,
mm-hmm.
which, like you said, their percentage isn't too high. It's at like 35%. But the amount of threes is like absurd for how large the lineup is,
yeah,
size-wise.
I think, though, if we can manage to match volume-wise, it'll both help everyone kind of get back into a rhythm
yeah.
who maybe hasn't gotten the same amount of touches that they're used to.
Shame it.
I do think that it boosts our odds, especially if, you know, they're hemorrhaging nearly as many 3-point attempts
yeah.
as they are knocking down.
It's a very odd stat. If Middleton and Lopez are hitting shots early, I think the pace gets...
Wait, which Lopez?
Doesn't matter, bro. I think the pace gets weird.
Yeah.
We play at the 24th ranked pace currently.
That's not a surprise. I mean, we talked about that coming into the season. This is going to be a more methodical offense.
And Doc has stated he doesn't care if they score 120 points from all free throws, so the pace might get real goofy in this game. But if it works for us, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I see it still being... I see it being faster with that second unit. It is going to be a struggle to create with those starters.
Let's get into some matchups real quick. Bev versus Bledsoe. We talked about this off top. This is going to be a good time.
I'm interested. I'm really hoping... I don't think that... It's two defensive-minded guys. I don't think that, in my opinion, Pat has any trouble locking down Bledsoe.
Especially right now, Bledsoe's shooting 20% from three.
He's guarding himself.
Bev choosing on when to close out on him and when to help with Giannis is going to be crucial.
Yep.
Bev also, I think his shooting's going to come around.
I was going to say, that's what I hope for more in this matchup. I'd like to see Beverly kind of hit... have a nice little offensive game.
And then they're giving up the most threes, so him and Shamit, they're due to break out of their sophomore bumps.
Potholes.
Their potholes. Giannis versus everybody. Who the F guards Giannis? Is it everybody?
Pat Patterson.
Pat Bev. Throw both of them out there. Can we get an extra player exemption or something? No, that's where this game hinges, is containing Giannis. I know it's kind of boring analysis, but
I mean, if you make Giannis shoot, if you slow the game down, you make Giannis become more of a shooter than a driver, and you stop the kickout game. They're leading the league in scoring. They're shooting a high percentage of threes because their shots, not their...
The attempts.
Their attempts are high. It's because they're playing a really fast game. Giannis works the best in transition. Clippers already work at a slow pace, and they can slow down a little bit more, especially without Kawhi, which I think is totally doable. I mean, if you could hold the Bucks under 115, I think you have a shot.
We got freaking positive Pat over here.
Yeah.
Let's get into these predictions. We know Pat thinks. Will, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
I think that we're going to put up a good game. I think it's going to fall short.
Okay.
Effort-wise.
You think the effort's going to fall short?
Not effort. I mean, result.
Okay, got it.
Result. That effort, you know, everybody's going to take a game off.
Yeah, everyone's chilling. So you think we lose?
Yeah, I think we lose this one. I'm thinking like 106 to 118 Bucks.
I am going to... I'm feeling kind of like a lunatic.
Uh-huh.
So I'm saying Clips win this one.
All right, what do you got?
I'm saying Zoo has... I thought he was going to have the best game that he's ever had in the regular season the other day. He almost did, but Trez was playing
better. He has 100 boards.
He's got 100 boards. No, I think Clippers eke this one out.
All right.
I think the pace gets... I think it's like a classic old like Stanford offense where it's just like a crawling pace.
Okay.
And I think it works for us because we're hitting the high percentage shots. I think Clippers win
120-116. We've been playing slower, but I think that has to do sometimes with Kawhi in the lineup, and not in a negative way.
For sure. We're 5-2.
He's just kind of a methodical dude. I don't know that slowing it down is maybe the best thing for this offense just when guys are having trouble finding rhythm. Anyway,
you already picked us to lose, so what does it matter? coming up after this, we got What You Say Wednesday. But first, the NCAA is back in action, and it's time to turn your attention from carving pumpkins to Spartans carving up defenses. Cassius Winston returns for his senior year to prove that he still has what it takes to bring a ship to Michigan State. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. If you really want to support your team this season, don't sit on the sidelines. Put some money on it, idiot. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, mybookie will freaking double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That is all cap letters, one word, LOCKEDONNBA, to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay. Welcome to What You Say Wednesday.
What You Say?
I can't believe... So a Twitter user at Step Back Tree asked this fantastic question for yesterday's pod. I, you know, aggregated it. Sorry about that, but I did. I wanted to get your thoughts on it. And, you know, Pat's kicking it too. Why not? And all of Clipper Nation's thought. The question was, is this Clippers team better than you thought, the same that you thought, or worse than you thought it would be without Paul George?
Are we going to say what we thought first?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Better.
I said slightly better. Patrick?
Oh, I'd say better for sure.
Well,
wow.
46% said better than I thought. So we were all in the majority. All
right. Feels good.
44% said the same that I thought, which I also feel like is a fair response.
Yeah.
And then 10% are going through something right now with worse than I thought.
I can understand why people think it's worse, though. I mean,
in terms of, so
five, we're 5-2. I'm sorry. So, I don't know what you thought.
So the record is great. I love the 5-2, you know. 6-1 better, 7-0. Why not? 5-2 is great right now. We can go no worse than 500 with Paul George out. I think what people latch on to, and I'm not saying this is anything that I believe, but what I've seen is kind of what we talked about off top, where when Kawhi is out, which is only going to be these 10 couple of games or so, we have to play Lou a bunch. Mm-hmm. And he sometimes has to take his minutes off of the bench, which is where he is the most effective, because we need that shot creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think overall, people are a little unimpressed with how the defense looks. I'm not saying how it is actually playing, but yeah, in terms of how it looks. Do I agree with these people? No. I think things are going better than I thought they were going to be going.
No, but
but are there things to work on? Of course.
I think that's,
but as of now, that's good.
I think that's fair to have some criticisms of the way that some things have kind of turned out. You know, defensively, I did think it was going to be a little bit more of a chokehold, to be honest with you.
Yes. I know what you mean. I thought it was going to be a little more. I think I likened it to like a steamroller or something like that. And it doesn't feel like that right now.
I thought it was going to be kind of like a snake constricting or something like that.
And we have held the last two opponents under 100 points.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. But we're kind of like that fat snake. You know, like we just ate a whole gazelle.
And we're hanging
out. So we're clearly winning.
So we're hanging out in the sun for a good period of time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going better. Why do you think it's going better than what you initially thought?
Honestly, I did not think that we would see Kawhi in this form that we have already. I kind of thought...
Holographic Kawhi, as I'm now starting to call it.
I also kind of thought that we might see him with a lower minute load or possibly even playing less than not on back-to-backs.
Oh, so you were maybe thinking some load management on non-B2Bs.
Yeah. I mean, it was a possibility.
For sure.
He hadn't practiced, you know, like...
At all. I mean, for the most part. Yeah, I thought this reliance on the Trez and Lou pick and roll is going to be a lot more. I'm psyched that it's not.
It also, like, is just still working so well.
Yeah, that's true. Pat, what did you think was going to be? Why do you think it's going better?
I think it's going better because, I mean, if you just go off what we're missing, I mean, we're missing from last year, we're missing Gallo, missing Shea, missing...
Don't talk about it.
That's what I mean. I mean, this is the same team. We gave up a lot to get Kawhi and a lot to get Paul George. There's going to be growing pains. These guys need to learn how to play with each other.
Yeah.
They've learned really quickly the foundation that Doc built last year, really shining right now, I think, in the way that Kawhi's been able to kind of seamlessly come in.
That's what I've liked. That's one of the things I've liked so much is, like, he's just here.
It gives you hope for when Paul George will be healthy now. Think about and the defensive thing you guys were talking about earlier. I mean, just wait until Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are on the same court. I mean, two literal defensive MVP candidates every year.
Yeah.
I mean, these are guys that average over 2.5 steals a game. That's insane. And they're going to be on the floor. Trez is a really good low post defender when he doesn't have to have too much pressure put on him. I mean, once everybody's healthy, this team's going to be crazy good. The reason I think they're doing better right now is because they're 5-2 in a stacked Western Conference.
Shout out to those Suns. That Suns.
They're no Suns.
That Suns loss doesn't look so bad right now.
Not at all.
What's
going worse
than what I initially thought?
Yeah.
So Step Back Tree had a fantastic pod yesterday. He asked two great questions. He asked, is there anything also that we think isn't made better when Paul George comes back?
Mm-hmm.
Like any glaring problems? There's nothing working so badly that it needs that kind of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's not a glaring hole that Paul George fixes. He smooths over a lot of bumps,
mm-hmm.
but there's not like a giant canyon that he's filling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think what's going worse, I guess, like what Pat mentioned, is I think people are already trying to think about what the defense looks like with Paul George back, and they kind of want that right now.
Yeah.
I also think with the free safety defense we kind of play, it's hard to tell when the defense is playing well. Like, we have a lot of length, which is great, but sometimes when there's breakdowns, I think it looks worse than it actually is.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But it would be the defense and the shot creation. It's going to be so nice to have. That's the biggest thing that he's going to fix, is when, you know, we need a bucket and we can rely on someone other than, you know, it's, I feel like a jackass lamenting the fact that we, quote unquote, only have Lou Will and Kawhi to rely on for going to get a bucket. But it'll be nice when there's a third guaranteed guy where it's like, go get that bucket.
Like off the dribble, like yeah. Any, yeah, anything. In isolation.
Just go
yeah.
get it.
So that's fair.
You saw how good Shaman is when he has, he's the fourth option. I mean, imagine now when it's Kawhi, Paul George, Lou Will, and Trez on, he's the fifth option.
Yeah.
And anyone.
Oh, the bench is going to be nasty when Paul George gets back.
Oh, yeah. Who moves to the bench?
I think Sham moves to the bench.
I agree.
I think Patterson moves to the end of the rotation and Magruder gets his minutes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I don't think Patterson slots into the bench with the same amount of minutes that he's had at the starting role. I think he's kind of a... Justin Russo called it on Twitter kind of a placeholder. I think that's totally right. I think they want to kind of get that bench continuity going. And then, you know, you add Sham down there.
Yeah.
I
would agree. I think that you move Sham down. Possibly you see...
Magruder's like, just played like a little more than I thought he was going to with the second unit after the injury.
Yeah, definitely. It makes sense. It's a good fit. But at the four, I still do like Patterson to start. And then depending on how things go... I mean, the thing is just that combination of Mo and Jamichael works so well.
Yeah.
I don't see... Yeah. To me, okay, so Patterson's laid a couple eggs offensively the last
two
games.
Dude, I'm not even anti-Patterson that much.
And I just feel like a lot of Twitter is, so we're yeah. going to talk about
and
it.
And we were.
prior to the preseason, we were down on Patterson.
Absolutely. But we've turned.
I've seen the light. I've seen the air of
but
my
we've
Wes.
Turned.
But no, I think that he makes still a lot of sense at the four. You know, and for all the reasons that I've said before, he's a durable guy. He can, you know, he can take kind of a lot of physical punishment in against those larger fours, sometimes even against larger fives in help situations. That's just going to do wonders for the longevity of both Paul George and Kawhi. We talk about them missing practices. How about them not having to take a bunch of heavy abuse on the defensive end during games?
I agree with that point, and I think we will see this sliding lineup that Doc has teased that has yet to really slide other than when Kawhi doesn't play.
And I think it'll be sliding in a way that we didn't think about before. I think before we thought about like maybe this roaming cast of starters.
Yeah.
And I think the starting lineup will more or less be set, but we will
There's
challenge.
There's like one spot.
Yes.
It's the four.
Yeah. We will challenge what minutes as a starter means, I think.
We're all about challenging things on this Clippers team.
Look, man, we've been disrupting for the last 50 years.
We actually, coming up on shavings, we're going to talk about kind of the weird disruptive rest strategy that Doc talked about today. That is coming up right after this. Okay, so Jovan Buha, fantastic Clippers beat writer. If you're listening to this podcast and somehow not following Jovan, I don't know. Figure that out.
He also has his own line of colognes, Elon Musk. Check it out.
Oh, wow. Well played. I don't think he listens to this pod, so I hope he does hear that somehow. Per Jovan, Doc said today that most teams try and rest their players during games, as in taking games off. But the Clippers are experimenting with resting guys during practice, which could instead save them for games. The Clippers rested Kawhi for almost half of training camp for this. Do you believe that, or is that kind of BS?
I think it's a little BS.
Like, I love the sentiment. You
God,
know,
oh God, look.
Like, so here's my thing. Bev and Lou didn't practice Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, like, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Kawhi practiced and then still sat. So, I'm like.
And, like, you're telling me he was going all out in practices in Toronto last year? Come on.
I think they're trying to kind of change the narrative on load management.
And like, you just don't,
which I'm fine
you
with.
Just, I think you just don't need to.
You just need to say it's load management.
I don't even think you need to say anything. We get what it is.
Yeah.
If you follow the NBA, you get what it is.
That's what's kind of confusing, because they've talked about how like, oh no, it's not load management. We just want everyone to play the amount that isn't too much for them to get hurt. And you're like, okay, so you're managing. They're playing. Like, it's just, it's all load management.
Yeah.
Which does have this weird negative connotation to it.
Here's my thing.
It just makes total sense.
What if instead of, I mean, here's, like, I think that they're going at whatever speed in practice anyways, and I'm not going to say it's lower, but I'm saying that it's not the issue.
For sure.
On
yeah, that's not tiring them out.
Why not play 10 minutes?
Hey, I mean, I think that's when you get into the...
Is that
does
bad?
The,
is
does
that
the
wrong?
Graph of injury risk and outcome, you know... Like,
10 minutes?
Hey, people have torn their ACLs in the Pro Bowl before. You know what I'm saying? My thing with the practice, to your point, is quarterbacks in the NFL wear bright red jerseys when they practice so they don't get tackled.
Yeah.
That's effectively the same thing as what Doc's talking about with this.
Yeah.
Is letting them take off practice. I mean, I'm fine with it. I would have, I guess, in this particular instance for the game against the Bucks, would have liked Kawhi to maybe take practice off and play the game, especially with the days of rest we have after this back-to-back. But
That being said,
this is where we're at.
It makes sense.
Paul George, we got an update today from Doc Rivers. He said, Paul George went for it today. Did you go for it today, dude?
I did not.
Dude, I did not either.
It was the first day back from vacation. I'm really easing in.
I got to be more like Paul George.
I'm taking it light on practice, and I'm load managing.
It's, work?
Yeah.
Bro, you are not on the court. You are, man. That's not
at
a
my
good...
desk job. I'm load managing.
Yeah, at this desk. Yeah, is it load management if you're constantly on it? He said about Paul George, didn't do a lot of live action, but did do some skeleton drills. Added, it won't be hard to integrate Paul George back. We're running pretty much fits what he does. I think there's only
what
one.
What is a skeleton drill? And is it spooky?
Just the plays? Are you kidding me? Before today, yes. I think there's one action we'll add when he's quote unquote full blown Paul George. And that action, other than, I feel like there's two actions.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is going to be an actual play drawn up. Bless you, Pat. No worries. People sneeze. One of the actions is going to be a specific play for Paul George. And the other action is going to be, please go get us a bucket, which I'm fine with. That's an action every team needs.
Agreed.
Are you in a tiff about this load management at all? From a fan perspective, which this is a fan podcast.
No, I'm not. But I think
I'm a bit bummed we don't get to see him play Giannis.
What about the opposite of load management? Extra load, but diuretics are cool. PEDs are fine.
So, okay, you made a couple of jumps. No, the load.
You have to play all 82 games, but PEDs are fine yeah. And diuretics
if
are cool.
If you check the PED box, you are. PEDs. Did you not hear the first part?
Are you not listening?
Come on, bro. Yeah, rub some steroid dirt
on it. I think, yeah.
No, the load management thing, I mean, as a fan, I'm a little bummed we don't get to see him play. There is that. We got, okay, the NBA really effed us on the scheduling this week. For the next, from the 7 days starting on Monday, we only had two games, somehow back to back.
Yeah.
7 damn days with these two games in.
Yeah.
And
some of that is, you know, because of our scheduling at Staples Center, which is going to continue to be an issue till 2024. Am I right?
Well, hopefully. There's some still legal battles going on with that.
Could be solved, though, this week, according to Miriam Swanson.
Shout out Miriam Swanson. Follow Miriam Swanson. Also read those. You register. No, it's just, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of now, we talked about this preseason. I don't think he's going to play any back-to-backs.
There's just no need, and, you know...
There could be a need, though.
Well, I like the matchup.
I want a top four seed, and with how absurd the West seems right now...
What do you want?
I'd love a car. No, I just want that top four seed, so it would be tough to... It'd be a hard pill to swallow with late in the season when we need wins on back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we have a lot, because we got two of our seven or something, by the way, in the first 10 games. Thanks again, NBA. But... You know, it's just one of those things where the negative piece of my brain is like, this might come back to haunt us, but right now, I think we just got to grit our teeth and bear it.
You think that it comes back to haunt us because of the record?
Possibly. If we, it will only come back to do that if we drop the majority of games that Kawhi doesn't play, and then people will look back and be like, dude, you know, it really could have helped if Kawhi played this game.
I mean, I think...
Also, every annoying fan apparently has that accent on this podcast.
You know, I think going 500 over stretches where Paul George and Kawhi are both out is, you know, really best case scenario. That's doing really pretty well.
Yeah, I agree with that. But some
still TBD, and also the season, the schedule has been so hard that I do think that these load management issue, like these, not even issues, these load management.
Yeah, because they're just, they're not even issues because they're just
iterations.
Happenings.
Yeah, yeah. Make more sense now, and who knows? Maybe this could change. Maybe we could see more of a ramping up of the less practices but more games. Maybe we do the classic William Updike. You know, you play 10 minutes. See how you feel.
I hope they call that the Updike 10. Doc's one day is like, you know, we gave him the old Updike 10 tonight. You know, they're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Or the old Updike. Pile of PEDs. I don't know what it comes in. Does it come in a pile? I don't know.
PEDs are delivered to you loose in a hand.
Does Roman do that now?
I don't know, man. Cigarette cellophane. Yeah. That about wraps it up.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Oh, man.
Feel good to be back?
It does, you know.
Hell yeah.
I'm working my way back into game shape.
We're doing our best. Want to give a shout out to John Mayo, JONMAYEAUX on iTunes for the 5-star review.
Oh, wow. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, big dog. We're on a good streak. We got 3 in a row.
Or may you. I don't know. Either way. Know. Great.
Someone's going to listen to this and give us a 2-star review. If it's funny, we'll read it.
That's true.
Guys.
If it's not funny, we'll read it too. Just leave the review, guys. Come on.
Thursday's episode. That's going to be a big one. We have a recap of the game against the Bucks, a preview of the game against the Blazers, which Kawhi will probably play in.
We're talking... Talk a little about what we're thirsty for.
And then we got a Thirsty Thursday. Clipper Nation, thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Pat for hanging out.
Thanks for having me, guys. Always a pleasure.
This will not be the last time y'all hear Pat. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Uptake. Appreciate you.